Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Farzi Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. My name is Mark Farzetta. I had this realization yesterday while watching the Eagles' dominant win over the Tennessee Titans. And then I heard Jalen Hurts kind of speak to this after the game. And I heard Nick Sirianni speak to this after the game. And I heard Jalen Hurts speak to this after last week's win over the Green Bay Packers. And normally, this is a bad thing. Normally, this is a terrible thing. And I remember talking about this with my buddy Jamie Lynch when we were on the radio together. We were talking about some Eagles teams there at the tail end of Carson Wentz's time here in Philadelphia. About the team having this. Now, this is a death sentence for football teams normally. This team has no identity. That is usually the one of the worst things you could say about any football team. What is their identity? And that's where it's like, oh, are they like the Titans where they run the football and that's how they win games? Are they a team like the Baltimore Ravens in the late 90s and early 2000s that are all about defense? Are they like that? Are they that type of team? Are they like the Eagles of 2004 where it was, throw the ball to T.O.? That's what you're going to do. That's what you're going to win. That's how you're going to get to the end zone. You're going to have a great defense along with it. Like, that was a soul-crushing thing to hear as a fan, to have those conversations about what's your identity. And this Eagles team, in the best sense, has no true identity. And I'm going to tell you why that's a great compliment. Because you can't put your finger on one thing this team does extremely well and say, that's why they're winning football games. That's why they're 11-1. Because every week now, it seems like they're winning with a different brand of football, with a different identity. Their identity is actually the only one that matters, and it's being 11-1. That's their idea. Number one seed. If the season ended today, that's their identity. And it's the only identity that matters. And that is how I, and that is why I am so blown away by this Philadelphia Eagles football team. And I was saying it last week. I said it during the pregame show. This is what I look at with this team. Every time, every week, when I look at a strength of another football team, like, for instance, Derrick Henry of the Tennessee Titans, who I know in recent weeks has been kept under wraps a little bit. So maybe the Eagles had some good film and knew what to do in order to stop Derrick Henry. But bottom line was, there was a great running offense taking on a defense in the Philadelphia Eagles that in recent memory has not been great at stopping the run. So what did they do? Well, they go out there, they got Ndamukong Suh, they went out and got Linville Joseph, Jordan Davis comes back into the fray. This is incredible. You already have Fletcher Cox there. You already have Javon Hargrave there. It's great. But every time you talk about some other team's strong suit like Derrick Henry, it's like, okay, well, the Eagles have a pretty stout defensive line. And even after the game, T.J. Edwards, a linebacker, was talking about how they won this game because of what their defensive line was able to do, whether it be pass pressure or whether that be stopping Derrick Henry. And that's exactly what they did. So you talk about a strength of another team, and it's like, well, he's running into a strength of the Philadelphia Eagles. So I'm not that concerned about, oh, this team's a great run-stopping team. You're not going to have Jordan Davis, or Miles Sanders or Jalen Hurts go off on the ground game again. Well, that's fine because they can throw the football, and that's how they can beat this defense. And how do they beat this defense? By throwing the football. Last week, running worked. This week, passing worked. And you know what happened? The Eagles won both games. Every time you go for an assessment, even if you talk about a guy like Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry has been doing well. Ryan Tannehill, and I laid out the numbers for you last week, this guy's got a passer rating over 90 over the last couple of weeks. He hasn't thrown interceptions. He's been protecting the football, 300-yard passing games, 290-yard passing games, throwing the ball to the end zone, finding Treylon Burks, doing a great job with his receiving core, Robert Woods and all that stuff. And, okay, fine, but this time around he's throwing into James Bradbury and Darius Slay. So there's even an answer there. So it wasn't concerning. Every time you assess this team and their matchup, whatever that team's doing well that's coming into the link or they're going to visit, the Eagles have an answer for it. And the best stat, the best identity you could have for this football team is 11-1. In other words, they're going to find a way to beat you. And if whatever you're doing is the reason why you've been winning football games, whatever that is, the Eagles are going to find an answer to it. This team wins. What's their identity? It's the only one that matters. It's not about running. It's not about throwing. It's not about getting after the quarterback. It's not about stopping the run. It's not about stopping the pass. It's just about winning. What works this week? Whatever, that's what we're going to be. We're going to be a running team. We're going to be a passing team. We're going to get to the quarterback and bring him down. We're a chameleon is what we are. This will be the Philadelphia Eagle chameleon. Now, that's like a Napoleon Dynamite type of thing. What was the half chicken, half, was it half chicken, half unicorn, half a liger? That's what it was. Half lion, half tiger. It makes sense, I think. Do the chickens have large talons? I was just very impressed with this game yesterday. We have a list of far beyond five things that we're going to get into. Let me start off just to get the negative out of the way. I know I was joking about this. There must have been a real big kegger. There must have been an incredible rager or whatever Saturday night into Sunday at Stoutland University's campus, because what the hell, man? How many? Five false start penalties? Five false start penalties in the first half? Can we get it together, people? What? Was there something wrong with the cadence? What was going on there? Five? I know people are making jokes about the Christmas album, which from what I heard is delightful. But what? All five offensive linemen called for penalty. Oh, my goodness. That was ridiculous. But after that, they protected Jalen Hurts rather well. And when he had time in the pocket, which was always to find receivers downfield, he found receivers downfield. Absolutely amazed with what they were able to do when they actually played. But the fact that you're watching this game unfold the way it was in the early goings of it, and you're going, all right, well, the Eagles are they're still in control of this game, which is really good. The Eagles are still in control. But you take away some of these penalties, and they'd be blowing out the Tennessee Titans. It wouldn't have even been a game by halftime. The Eagles essentially were giving themselves tackles for loss each time they took a false start penalty. It was like they're being driven back by their own guys, by their own ineptitude, by their own mistakes. Self-inflicted wounds has become the popular catchphrase when it comes to penalties like that, and that's exactly what the Eagles were doing. They were making self-inflicted wounds. It was rough to watch. And it just had you waiting for the next shoe to drop every single time. So as this game unfolded, you're just waiting for that moment where the Eagles get for real, for real. And that moment happened in the game when you saw A.J. Brown, when A.J. Brown got into the end zone on that incredible catch where he just flipped his hands out at the very last second and brought it in. Because he had scored the touchdown before, it was ruled a touchdown on the field. And then it was taken away because he was out of bounds, rightfully so. But then in the very next play, he finds A.J. Brown again, Jalen Hurts, with a beautiful pass, dropped it right in the basket, and A.J. Brown just put his hands out the last second and brought that ball in for the touchdown. And that, to me, was the moment in the game where you thought, all right, it's all over. This is going to be the Commanders game, where the Titans start running the ball and having long drives and converting on first down and kill the Eagles in time of possession. No. This is not going to be that instance. This is where the Eagles are going to do whatever the hell they damn well please. So they actually had a 40-yard touchdown pass that was taken off the board, only to respond with, in the very next play, a 40-yard touchdown pass. Now, that only made the score 14-7. But from that moment on, I felt like this was the Eagles' game. That was the Eagles game from that point on. I just felt like they were clicking. They could do what they wanted. Jalen Hurts was on the money in this game. And A.J. Brown was certainly looking like a guy who had something to prove against his former team. And we all know that whenever they talk about it, just want to have a good game. It's another game. It's going to win. It's about the team. It's not about me. My former team. It's about this team winning. Whatever they say, that's like, just keep moving on. Because other than winning a Super Bowl, if there's anything I learned from the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles and that whole underdog mentality, is that they hear everything, and bulletin board material is very much real. It's not just a thing for high school Harry. It's not just a thing for the great movies about football or anything like that, for locker room conversation. No, Bulletin board material is very real, and apparently it's very motivating. Hassan Reddick also proved that in this game by this defensive line being able to get after it, by their edge rushers by being able to get after it, and then not only being able to get after Ryan Tannehill, but also stopping Derrick Henry most notably. And that was a huge chip on the shoulder of the Philadelphia Eagles defense in general going into this game, most notably their linebackers, most notably their edge rushers, most notably their defensive line as a whole. That, to me, is what really, really, that was the point they drove home consistently in this game. You are not going to beat us today, Derrick Henry. You're not going to beat us today with your run game. And they took full advantage of that. Now, as far as that bulletin board material goes, and we'll let you hear from coming up a little bit later, but Hassan Reddick did say that he heard all the talk about how the Tennessee Titans are a tough defense. They're coached by a tough, tough former linebacker of the New England Patriots and Mike Vrabel, and he has certainly been in Tennessee for more than a minute. But for whatever reason, the Tennessee Titans defense getting talked about as the tough defense did not sit well with the Philadelphia Eagles and Hassan Reddick. So they wanted to make it a point. They actually said after the game that it was a box they had to check in stopping Derrick Henry. Derrick Henry has 74 games in his career, 74 games in his career where he's had at least 10 rushing attempts. He's only been held to 30 or fewer yards on the ground in those 74 games with 10 attempts, only been held to under 30 or under less yards in five of them. And yesterday was the fifth. That's pretty impressive. Credit where credit's due. Run defense on point. Jonathan Gannon, whatever you drew up yesterday, was on point. Defensive line winning their one-on-one battles in non-blitz situations. Well played, fellas. Javon Hargrave, incredible job yesterday. Josh Sweat, amazing. Hassan Reddick, fantastic. Brandon Graham, way to be there, buddy. Dominican Sue, Linval Joseph, Jordan Davis, Fletcher Kyle, all these guys were great yesterday during the game. Your linebackers were there when they had to make it. I saw Marcus Epps come up with one of the first plays of the game and stick it to Derrick Henry at the line of scrimmage. And I'm like, if you're getting Marcus Epps to come up and fill gas for you at the line of scrimmage, this is going to be a very long game for Derrick Henry. Another very long game for Derrick Henry. Now, we could talk about the 3.1 yards per carry that he had against the Green Bay Packers. We could talk about the 38 yards that he had against the Bengals last week, even though he still hurt them in the passing game last week against the Bengals. You can talk about all that. Whatever the Eagles were doing yesterday, it was working to perfection. Whatever their game plan was, whatever they drew up, whatever Jonathan Gannon said, hey, this is what we're going to do today, this is how we're going to attack it, it worked to perfection. And it started at that defensive line. They set the tone for the game. The secondary coming up to make help, give help like a guy like Marcus Epps was, that's great. Sam Reddick coming in there to make plays. TJ Edwards coming in there to make plays. Kazir White coming in there to make plays. Everybody contributed to this win yesterday. And the only way the Eagles were going to lose this game is if those penalties came back to bite them in the ass. And they didn't. Whatever struggles were in their face, the Eagles were able to step up and make plays to dominate this game. Something else that really occurred to me yesterday in watching the rest, like watching the Giants and the Washington Commanders tie. Any other Eagles fan out there think of Eagles tying the Bengals all those years ago and Merrill Reese's call was like kissing your sister? The Eagles and Bengals tie. Like, anyone ever, that comes to mind every single time there's a tie. And I'm not talking about the Eagles and Bengals tying, 2 years ago? I'm talking about the Eagles and Bengals tying like years ago. That was the call. Like 10 years ago. Whatever, maybe even longer. It's been a minute. I think it was 2008. Yeah, because the Eagles won. Yeah, the Eagles ended up making the playoffs, I think, because of that tie. Well, whatever. And Merrill Reese's call was like kissing your sister. So the Commanders, anyway, the point. The Commanders and the Giants tie yesterday. The Cowboys go out there and completely dominate in Sunday Night Football. The 4:30 game or 4:25 game with the Bengals and the Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes, leading MVP candidate, he wasn't really the guy to let him down. You had Valdez-Scantling drop one in the end zone. You had Travis Kelce with a tough fumble. Can't wait to hear what he has to say about that this week on his podcast with his brother. But Travis Kelce, he has a bad fumble. So Patrick Mahomes didn't look terrible in that game by any means, but they still lost the game to the Bengals. And to me, I don't really think it's a question right now as to who the front runner for MVP is. The front runner for MVP, if Lamar Jackson gets hurt, the front runner for the Dolphins lose, the front runner for MVP, as far as I'm concerned, in the NFL right now, and really, I don't really see any other way to look at it. The front runner for MVP is Jalen Hurts. The versatility he is showing on the football field, the fact that this team has so many different identities and not one identity. Oh, what kind of team is this? The run team, pass team, is there a defensive juggernaut? No, it's whatever it needs to be to win. That's how you're 11-1. But the number one reason that they are that versatile, the number one reason they are that chameleon is because of Jalen Hurts. My man airs it out for 380 yards yesterday. My man runs in a touchdown. My guy runs for 150 yards a week ago to get them the win. Takes over a game against the Colts. Now, Cowboys took over all of it yesterday against the Colts, but that ain't the point. Jalen Hurts has been dominant this year. Jalen Hurts, even for me, someone who was optimistic about Jalen Hurts going in, even at the end of last season, I was still optimistic about Jalen Hurts. I was optimistic going into this year because, as I always tell you, I never bet against a guy that has a lot of talent and a great work ethic because you never know where that ceiling truly is. And as it turns out, this guy's ceiling right now can be MVP. The MVP of the NFL. Even the most optimistic, even the biggest Jalen Hurts fans didn't see that coming up in this season. Oh, maybe another step forward. Maybe he'll convince them that he's the guy of the future, and they're not going to use either of their same narrative as last year, either of their two first-round draft picks on a quarterback or acquiring a quarterback or using it to draft a quarterback or moving up to take a quarterback. They're not doing that. Jalen Hurts is the guy. Jalen Hurts is the franchise guy. Even for me, who thought he would earn that title at the end of this season, I didn't think he'd earn the title of MVP. And that's exactly where he is right now. He is the front runner, and by all accounts, should be the front runner for the most valuable player in the NFL. Your quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles, should be the MVP of the NFL. After this week, after week 13, I don't see how anyone else can have any other conclusion than that. Because Patrick Mahomes has got the throwing touchdowns, he's got the passing numbers, he's got the yard, all that stuff is great. It's fantastic. He's got the reputation. But man, what Jalen Hurts is doing out there, he's picking and choosing how to beat you. What do I need to be today? All right, fine. It's like we talk about Joel Embiid talks about, should I be Dirk today? Should I be Jordan today? Should I be Shaq today? Like, he picks and chooses what he's going to be in that game. It's like Jalen Hurts can do that same exact thing. Who do I need to be today? Do I need to be the guy that airs it out? Or do I need to be the guy that is able to take control of the game by running the football? Whatever it is, it's amounting to wins. And the phrase I used yesterday on the pregame show was the Disney-colored glasses. The Eagles always have an answer. Is that two Disney-colored glasses? And it's like, no, it's absolutely not. Is it too optimistic? Is it too midnight green-colored glasses? Maybe that's a way to look at it. And no, it's not, because they're 11-1. The proof is in the pudding. In the most critical, most meaningful, most bottom-line stat, wins or losses, 11-1. I rest my case. Somebody else that deserves a lot of shout-out for yesterday. And this annoys me so much, because if you're bitching about special teams, and I'm not going to say special, I'm not defending special teams, but what I'm saying is, if you're bitching about special teams, odds are you have a pretty good football team. If you're this returner, Britton Covey, sucks. All right, if you're like that, fire the special teams coordinator. He's not coordinating well, okay? If that's where the gripe is, and I'm not saying it's not a justified gripe, but I'm just saying if that's what you shout from the mountaintops after a game, then odds are you're a pretty good football team, because there's a lot of other things that grab headlines before special teams. But I felt great for Michael Clay yesterday. I felt great for Britton Covey yesterday, being able to return those. Like, I saw Dave Zingaro tweet out, that he put, like, each return was a new career high for him, which isn't that hard. But each return was a new career high. He was great. He was on point. He was taking hits yesterday. Could bring the man down. You love to see it. You love to see it. They improved upon that yesterday. They did a great job. This team also, I love this about them, and Reddick will talk about this in a second, but last week it was Darius Slay talking about Reed Blankenship, who I thought played pretty well yesterday. They went after him. They went after Josiah Scott early in the game, and then Ryan Tannehill getting sacked, what, five times yesterday? They really couldn't do much after that, so it really comes down to pass pressure. Tannehill, how about this? 14-22, 141 yards. And a touchdown. Not his best day at the office, by the way. So he was brought down a lot, as we know. And I was enjoying every second. Six sacks. He was brought down six times in yesterday's ballgame. Twice by Josh Sweat. So I'm watching this game unfold, and then you listen to the guys in the locker room, and we listened to Darius Slay with Reed Blankenship getting his first interception, and he talked about how Josiah Scott got an interception last week against the Packers as well, and Darius Slay was all about how, you know, that was supposed to be my ball, and he was ripping into Reed a little bit because he wanted to get a pick against Aaron Rodgers. He didn't get it, whatever. Well, this week it was Hassan Reddick talking about Josh Sweat getting two sacks and how Josh Sweat may have taken a sack or two away from Hassan Reddick in this game. And his expression after the game, and you'll hear it, was bleeping Sweat. Taking sacks from me. Those are bonus numbers, baby. But it just shows you that this team isn't just at 11-1. They're not just competing against the teams on their schedule. At 11-1, they're still pushing each other with competition in the locker room. And that's how you know this team's never going to get bored. That's how you know this team's never going to get, like, lose focus. And that to me is the people talk about rat poison, and before the season, you heard Jalen Hurts talking about rat poison. You heard Jason Kelce talking about rat poison, about the outside noise, about how good a team you're supposed to be, and all that stuff. Now, don't listen to it. Ignore it. Evaluate wins the same way you evaluate losses. When a team is this good, speaking of sounding like a homer, when a team is this good, you have to make sure that you're not losing focus. This team, I have zero worry that they're going to lose focus. This team has laser focus. Even in a season where they're 11-1, owners of the number one seed, best record in the NFL, as it's been for all season, they've either been tied with the Vikings for best record for like a week, or they've had the best record in the NFL after like week five. They have been absolutely incredible and kept their focus every single week. And if the competition on the other side of the field isn't down on the other sideline, isn't all that motivating, they find a way to motivate themselves in their own locker room. They evaluate those losses, those wins, as if they're losses. Like, they just, I have never, like, even when they were perfect, I had never seen a more perfect undefeated team, a more perfect record team than the way the Eagles were playing football. And now I look at their record and I look at the team and I look at their the rest of their season schedule, and I got the Giants coming up, and I look at how they're going to play these games. And it's like, what's left on the schedule here? What's left for the Eagles to prove? Other than this whole season, this whole run, the first 12 games of their 17-game season, what's there? What is still there? What's left on the bone for the Eagles to prove? Well, they could dominate in the division. I mean, if you look at their games in the division, they split with Washington, all right, including a home loss, which is always rough. They beat the Dallas Cowboys without Dak Prescott. They have yet to play the Giants. So, first order of business now, it's like a new set of challenges. How are the Eagles going to respond to playing within their division again? You could say that their one division win against the Commanders, okay, convincing, goes without saying, going into FedEx Field, winning that game, great. The smelly FedEx Field. And then losing to the Commanders at home, beating the Dallas Cowboys without Dak Prescott, right at the tail end of that run there with Cooper Rush. Now what are they going to do against the Giants? A Giants team that looked a little bit better yesterday. They had their offensive line back intact. They're still missing a defensive back or two. They're a banged-up team still, but they have not really regained the fluidity. Did you see the end of that game, by the way? The Giants game? Talk about fluidity. Talk about great coaching by Brian Daboll and Mike Kafka, right? They were lost on that final drive of the game. I think it was the final drive of the game where they lined up in the shotgun. And Daniel Jones either didn't know who to hand a ball to, or the running backs didn't know they were getting the ball. It was they literally, all three of them ran into each other. And it was like, well, that's not going to win this game. And they ended up, of course, tying. But, yeah, they're going to be looking for justice. They're going to be looking for, well, not justice. They're going to be looking for a bounce-back victory because, Lord knows, they haven't really had a good bounce-back game in quite some time now. But now you just got to prove that you can win the division as well. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that's what they're able to do, and we'll follow this week to see how it comes down. But the Giants, I just wanted to give you a real quick on them. Get the tie against Washington. They've won one game in their last five. No bueno. No bueno. All right, before we get to the locker room report and hear what these guys have to... Oh, I wanted to give you this. Lane Johnson, after the game, tweeted this. Ugly W, 11-1, and then the eagle emoji. Ugly third... What a hideous, horrific-looking, ugly 35-10 Philadelphia Eagles win. Just ugly. Of course, what he's referring to is the false start penalties on the offensive line. The other thing is Hassan Reddick, and this is what I love. After the game, Hassan Reddick said, now that's a physical team. That's what a physical team looks like. Great team win. Couldn't agree more. And that stems from the criticism that the Eagles, not really the criticism, but the praise the Tennessee Titans got for being such a tough physical team against really everybody. Oh, the Titans are a tough team. A tough team coming into Philadelphia. Tough to Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders and Devontae Smith, AJ Brown. They're playing a tough team. The Eagles are pretty tough, too. Oh, and here's the other thing that's even more important. They're better. Like, a lot better. That's what matters most. All right. Let's hear from the man I know a lot of people are talking about. Now, another thing that was so amazing, and the other thing I go into the lack of identity when they're just the better team. That's their identity. AJ Brown and Devontae Smith yesterday both had 100-plus receiving yards in that game. Last week, again, versatility. You had two 100-yard rushers. This week, you had two 100-yard receivers. They'll do whatever they damn well please and whatever they need to win the game. After the game, Jalen Hurts talked about the versatility of this offense.
I just think it's us just trying to go out there and do our jobs individually, as a group. Nothing good ever gets done if every man doesn't do their job and dominate their box, and that's what we strive to do. You know, I come up here and, you know, I give these analogies about steakhouses and all, whatever. But that's our reality. You know, we work really hard and we prepare really hard. And, you know, sometimes it just looks different, you know. And regardless of how we're attacking the defense, we just want to execute.
Jalen Hurts yesterday, speaking about everybody's got to do their job in order to go out there and take care of business. And that's exactly what they've been doing throughout this entire season. And they've got each other's backs. And it's like you get to play the game of who's going to be the hero. The one constant is Jalen Hurts. And then it's like, who on that offensive line is going to step up and get things done? And then after that, it's like, who in the secondary is going to step up and make a play and force a turnover? Who's going to get to the quarterback? It's a guessing game. Because everybody on that defense, everybody on this offense has stepped up at some point. And here's the other thing. The Eagles are getting better. The Eagles, as a perfect team, get Ndamukong Suh, get Linval Joseph. They get those guys on the defensive line. They get Jordan Davis back. This week, hopefully, they get Avante Maddox back. Next week, hopefully, they get Dallas Goedert back. And the other thing is, I've talked at length about how great Dallas Goedert is and how valuable he is in this team. He's one of the most valuable players, after Jalen Hurts, probably, on this team. And they're still winning. And now they're going to get him back? Okay. Reed Blankenship looks like he'll be able to hold down the fort, at least. He's not going to get interception after interception after interception. He's not going to lead the NFL in interceptions like CeeDee Deuce. But he's going to hold his own, that's for sure. Looking at this team play the way they've been playing, they are finding a different hero almost every single week to step up, and that is what Jalen Hurts was talking about right there. Now, let's get back to that versatility. Nick Sirianni talked about that versatility as well yesterday.
Yeah, I think it just says that we'll do whatever we need to do to win the game. And if the pass game gets hot, then the pass game gets hot. We keep going with that. If the run game gets hot, you know, that we'll ride that. And Shane did a great job calling it. Offense coaches did a good job putting the guys in position. And then obviously the most important thing, the guys went out and executed it. And it didn't, I don't feel like, all I felt like was whatever we called was working because of the guys we have out there on the field.
That's Nick Sirianni yesterday. That's really, I think a lot of it goes to coaching. My biggest negative takeaway from the Andy Reid era was just how consistently for 14 years it was just do this and we'll be fine. Now we don't need to run the ball, abandon that, get rid of that, just throw the ball. What about if they're not good at defending the run? Because you do that more. No, forget about it. Biggest gripe with Chip Kelly, you get to the goal line and you line up in shotgun every time. Well, we're still running the ball. Not a lot of success, unfortunately. Doug Peterson would get away from the run way too quick as well. It was very much like Andy Reid. Go figure. Like Lane Johnson would have to constantly, let's keep running the football. What I love about Nick Sirianni's coaching style, Shane Steichen, and even Jonathan Gannon, what's going to win this week? In that order. Sirianni first, Steichen, and then Gannon. What's going to win this week? What's their weakness? Let's exploit the hell out of it. What do they do well? Let's try to beat that too. Oh, the run game wasn't really working that well for the Eagles yesterday. All right, let's keep airing it out. 380 yards. It was working just fine and dandy. I don't like really any coach that decides, no. We're going to win my way. The other team's weakness or weaknesses is what dictates how you should win. And that's how you get to 11-1. Want to throw it back to Jalen Hurts because, again, it's about responding. It's about versatility. And he was asked yesterday about how this team has had so much success at this point in the season. And here's how Jalen Hurts answered that.
We know who we are as a football team. We know what we want to be and what we desire to be. And it's just, you know, it comes down to what we do and how do we respond to the things that are thrown in our face. You know, we and you can turn on the tape and see that they're a physical football team, that they attack on defense, that they, they have, you know, deservingly so, one of the best running backs in the league, you know, and he's physical. But, you know, we focus on controlling the things that we can, you know, and dominating our box and just, you know, doing what we can do, you know. Nothing else really matters but how we respond to stuff, and that's what we're trying to keep consistent with.
Jalen Hurts yesterday. When you listen to Jalen Hurts talk about this team responding to whatever gets thrown at him, that's where the adjustments come in. I think the Eagles, with like every football team, go into every single game with a game plan, and then every once in a while, it's okay, in case of emergency, break glass. And that glass, you know what's behind that glass? You know what's that emergency lever behind that glass? Jalen Hurts. Every single time. And this time around, he was able to lean on guys like Devontae Smith, and he was able to lean on a guy like A.J. Brown, who, yes, had that chip on his shoulder going against his former team. But the bottom line, it was Jalen Hurts sitting back, surveying the field, rolling out of the pocket, finding guys downfield, keeping plays alive, and making sure that the Eagles were able to convert and get points on their possessions and really take control of this football game when they needed him to take control of this football game. And the Eagles went into this game. And I even said at the end of last week, if this is the game that Miles Sanders is not that big in the game plan, and he's still got a touchdown in this game, but if Miles Sanders isn't going to be a major player in the game plan in terms of actually getting his touches and getting runs, I'm going to be fine with it, because then it probably means that the Eagles' air attack is working against the 31st ranked passing defense in the NFL. And that's exactly what happened in this game. This game for me, when listening to Jalen Hurts talk about that and how they've responded to any adversity that they face, whether they've been down in the game, whether they've been struggling in a game, they have a push come to shove moment, and that's where they take over and win. And that's mostly because of Jalen Hurts getting things done for this team this year. Defense has also stepped up big on a number of occasions this year. But ultimately, what really amazes me is how when you do come to those moments of push come to shove, the storm seems to calm around this team. Well, there's not a heck of a lot of panic. The one exception is obviously their only loss is the Commanders game where they couldn't keep possession of the football. Jalen Hurts played great in that game, but they couldn't keep possession of the football. And as these games have unfolded throughout this year, I think sometimes you could look at a game like this and say, all right, well, here's the obvious weakness. It's their pass defense. The obvious thing is that A.J. Brown is going to want to have a huge game against this team. This game was, for the most part, chalk. Eagles were the better team. They certainly proved it with 35-10, that type of victory. And then the way they went about winning 35-10, they stopped the run. Their defensive line did exactly what they were supposed to do. They played exactly for what the way Howie Roseman assembled them to play, the reason he went out and got them, and they used them properly yesterday. That was great. That was chalk. That was expected. To be to the level of only 30 yards allowed, 2.7 yards per carry, that was even better than I imagined. But it's what I thought they would do in this game because of the talent they had it on. Like I said, going into the game, whatever the Titans did well, the Eagles had the answer for it. A.J. Brown to go off against a terrible pass-defending team. Jalen Hurts to go off. Devontae Smith to go off. That was chalk. That was exactly what was supposed to happen. You have games a lot of times like the Commanders, and we've certainly experienced them a lot this year, where you just could do nothing right. No matter what you were going to do in that game, you weren't going to win the game. This was a game that you just did right. You played chalk. You played as predicted, as expected. You did exactly what you were supposed to do against a team that was running into a wall in your defensive line and was a wet paper bag when trying to run through to try to make plays in the passing game. It was great. It was great how it all unfolded yesterday. Speaking of A.J. Brown, here he was on the numbers he put up in the game and his mindset going into this game. This is two clips combined because I just wanted to show you what the Eagles tweeted out as well, so I combined them. Here's A.J. Brown on beating his former team.
This one meant a lot to me. Early on I had mixed emotions about the trade and everything. And, you know, I'd be lying to you to say I didn't circle this game.
What was the inspiration behind the touchdown?
Oh, today, I'm going to have to give you this whooping, but I still love you, though. So that's what the hug came in at the end.
First off, if you didn't see the dance, okay.
For the people on the podcast that might have missed the touchdown celebration dance, he had a towel and he acted like he was whipping something. That something turned out to be the Titans. And then he hugged the goalpost to show that he still loves them.
I still love you, but I got to give you this whipping. Anytime somebody gets rid of you, you want to shove it in their face. I don't care how amicable the split was, all right? You want to shove it in their face. You want to give them a whipping, a good old whooping. And that's what he did yesterday. I was blown away by what he was able to do on the football field. You know what? I just hope it keeps on coming for this Eagles team. Two more clips I got for you. It both has to do with Hassan Reddick. The chip on their shoulder mentality. 11-1. They're 11-1. People still doubt us. People say the Tennessee Titans are a tough team, but we got to be careful. The Eagles were only favored by, I think, four and a half, five, maybe, going into yesterday's game. And the Titans team, they're tough. That defense is tough. Their run game is tough. They're a tough coach. Son Reddick says, the hell with all that. He did hear it going into the game, and this is the response.
That was one of the things that was also on our checklist. You know, people talking about that the Titans were a physical team, maybe the most physical team in the NFL. It didn't sit right with us. You know, when we've been playing the way we've been playing, and I think we set the standard of who's the most physical team in the NFL. At least for this week, we did.
Guys, a tough SOB. Love it. Okay, remember what I was saying earlier about Josh Sweat and how he was getting the quarterback and Hassan Reddick might be a little jealous about it. Remember I was talking about last week, Darius Slay talking about Reed Blankenship and Josiah Scott getting interceptions and he didn't. And he was a little jealous about that. He was a little pissed off about that. He was a little pissed at Reed Blankenship, whatever. This team is pushing one another. Josh Sweat had 2 sacks, led the team yesterday. Here's Hassan Reddick on his boy getting some sacks.
You and Sweat were racing to the quarterback.
F***ing sweaty.
Nah, like he took a couple from you?
I can't say he took a couple from me doing his job, you know. It was good, though, to, you know, both of us getting there at the same time. He had a big day today. Happy for him, proud of him. You know, I knew a game like this was coming for him because he's worked hard all year.
I like how he hints at the idea that Josh Sweat took sacks from him. But when Dave Zingaro said, oh, he kind of stole a couple from me, no, I can't say he stole a couple from me. That's kind of what he just said. And you know what? We're fine with it. Because any competition is good competition. Any competition is good competition. And that's good competition. Compete with your teammate like that. Love it. Love every second of it, as a matter of fact. All right. Let me tell you about the great people of the Manscaped before we get to the chat check today. Manscaped, the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Because, fellas, you want to look good everywhere, right? Including below the waistline. They have introduced their Platinum Package 4.0. It's their biggest ultimate hygiene bundle yet. It includes the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. And they all come with skin-safe technology that helps reduce the risk of nicks so you can manscape with confidence and comfort. Plus, their ultra-premium body wash, 2-in-1 shampoo, conditioner, Crop Preserver anti-chafing ball deodorant, Crop Reviver ball spray toner, anti-chafing boxers, and the Shed travel bag that'll hold the goods you'll be using to take care of your goods from Manscaped. Manscaped's the leader in below-the-waist grooming. Now you can trust them with the whole shebang. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and using promo code Farzy for 20% off. That's promo code Farzy at manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. And speaking of promo code Farzy and 20% off, how about Freestone Farm CBD? You like CBD? You use CBD? Do you enjoy CBD? You want to try CBD? Do you have a CBD that you're not really happy about? Now you want to try a new CBD? Try Freestone Farm CBD at freestonefarmcbd.com where you get 20% off from promo code Farzy. By now, you know about their strain menu. It's nothing short of spectacular. It's incredible, is what it is. They have their insane tropical-tasting Bayox that clocks in at a chart-topping 24.1%, and Super CBD, which is half Hindu, Kush, and 21%. Genetics of these guys are off the charts. And they also grow all their premium hemp flower in the Garden State with all organic inputs and IPM. So there's nothing synthetic from farm to jar. And after harvest, they carefully preserve all their plant compounds with a perfect 3-month cure. Oh, fantastic. So try Freestone Farm CBD at freestonefarmcbd.com. Use promo code Farzy for 20% off. How about PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs? That's phlsportsnation.com. How about the Mojo app? Download the Mojo app to your phone right now and enjoy all it has to offer when it comes to 300 skilled players across all, oh, my goodness gracious, across all quarterbacks, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. Buy low, sell high. Each player of those 300-plus players has a share price attached to them. They're essentially a stock. Buy low, sell high. Make yourself some money on the Mojo app. Check out mojo.com for more information. Available right now in New Jersey on iOS. So make sure you let the games begin in New Jersey with the Mojo app. A gambling problem? Oh, must be 21 or older. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's get into this chat check and see how you beautiful people are doing on this fine Monday morning. Just a reminder, Giants and Commanders tied. Eagles won. Cowboys, ooh, baby. Cowboys dominated their game. Holy good Lord. Mally, what's up, Mally? Oh, we have a poll going on here? What are you doing? 100% of people asked said Jalen Hurts is your favorite for MVP. I don't disagree. Kevin leading off. Good morning, Kevin. Mally, A, how about them 11-1 Eagles? You're damn right, A. I am not Canadian. That is the person's name. A. Or is it a? Anyway. Sean Gillespie. Good morning, Sean. By the way, Sean, did I just see yesterday, did you hit me up in the Instagram post? Did you hit me up last minute by chance for the party, for the Farzy party, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving? If you did and I missed it, M. Escuzzi, with all sincerity. But yeah, how about them birds? Mally, what's going on? Mally says, run the ball down their throat week one. Next week, we're going to air, 1 week, air it out the next week. Yeah, it's great. Eagles are dem boys. Hey, damn right. You know, Mark is happy. Got the whole neckline about to pop out. Drink it in. Huh? Drink it in. I love this shirt. Boop. Hey, looks like the division is going to come down to Christmas Eve against the Cowgirls. Folks, I got a rough decision to make about Christmas Eve here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I believe that's the night game, if I'm not mistaken. Or is that just later? No, it's 4:30, I think. Yeah, 4:25 game. On that Sunday in Dallas. As a lot of you know that have been following me for a long time, Christmas Eve is a big deal in my family. We do a Feast of the Seven Fish, and it's my favorite holiday. It's like one of the only holidays that I've been able to keep sacred throughout my wildly crazy life for 6 months out of the year during football season. But this is going to be a rough one because that's going to be rough. Christmas Eve. Got to watch the game. Got to pay attention to the game. Got to do the pregame show. Got to do the halftime hit with Devin. It's going to be tough. But we'll see what happens there. But yeah, it does look like that's what it's going to come down to. No question about that. Looking forward to it. Sean Gillespie, please clean up those penalties. Absolutely. Hey, the Giants Commanders tied. Yes, they absolutely did. Paul Keane. Paul, good morning, my friend. Saints play tonight, I believe, against the Buccaneers. I think that's a Sunday night game. So you got that going for you. Saints right now are 4-8 going into that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah, 8:15 Monday night game tonight. The Bucs at home. They are favored by only 3 at home against the Saints. So, yeah, come on, Bucs. We're all Bucs fans tonight. Love the Christmas pick of the family. Oh, April had a Christmas pick of the fam. Nice. Paul Keane, Hurts is a dog. Dog. I get it. Anyway, Eagles played well yesterday. Was expecting a tough game, but was pleasantly surprised. AJ and Smitty were on fire. Did you guys see my man John McMullen on the pregame show wearing his little Scully cap and he's picking the Titans to win? The blasphemer? Said 24-23 Titans win. I said hogwash and poppycock. That's what I said to that, John McMullen. Evil John McMullen in his black beanie cap. Anyway, sorry, selfish joke. Boop. April, what's going on? Hello. These division games are way tougher in recent memory. Notice how no one team truly dominates the other so far. Yee. You're right on that. John Cheeseborough. Teams that can switch it up like the Eagles can and dominate, like the Eagles can dominate the way, I'm sorry, John, I'm butchering this. Take five. Teams that can switch it up like the Eagles can and dominate that way are the most dangerous. If you try to take away the run, they'll throw. Try to take away the pass, they'll run. And their heads are spinning. Mi Sanchez, what's going on, man? Good morning, everyone. First half felt like a flag football game. Yeah, that's true. Nonetheless, I love the balance between Smith and Brown. Fly Eagles fly on the road to 11-1 and eventually a Super Bowl win. There you go, Mi Sanchez. Sean Gillespie, what's going on again? Sirianni, not afraid to change it up. You're absolutely right. Everyone's pumped. John Cheeseborough. Eagles shutting down the tank in Derrick Henry with legs yesterday reminded me of 2005 against the Chargers and Tomlinson. Oh, yeah. No, I remember going to that game. I remember Brian Westbrook was as critical as he's ever been of Andy Reid. Do you think if you were Usmore, you'd have LT stats? Yep. Pretty much is how that went. SB Ricky, what's up? Victory. Ike Reese voice. Very nice. Love Ike. Boop. Oh, my God. We must have another Farsi party then. Yeah. Just so PJ can walk out of a bar all well-groomed, this hair combed neatly. If you missed the Farsi party, you missed a party, folks. You missed a party. Fishes? What? Oh, Feast of the Seven Fishes. Yeah. It's, what do you call it? A colloquialism? Yeah. When you say something that's not at all right, but it counts because of where you're from or what you are. Yeah. Feast of Seven Fishes. As I talk to everybody from the old country, we don't do that. We don't. Who can afford seven fish? Anyway, somehow the Texans and Bears just got eliminated from the playoffs. Just incredible. Just this early. Yeah, everyone's pumped, man, and everybody should be pumped. It's pretty damn incredible. John Cheeseborough, that annoyed me because Andy did that with Donovan. In my mind, I kept saying, can Reed run the backup quarterback offense with Donovan? Oh, my God. Five could start games, 5 of 16 for 7 yards, and Reed kept throwing. John, that takes me back, man. That takes me back. Jeff, all right, A.J. Feely's run, great defense. Jeff Garcia's run. I don't remember the, because that was 07, I want to say. 06, maybe. Jeff Garcia's run. Each time when they talked about success of the offense, they talked about how they kind of, I don't want to use the term dumbed down, but shrunk the playbook to make things easier for a backup. Well, whatever the hell it was, it certainly seemed like it worked. So, yes, John, I remember that gripe as well. Why couldn't Donovan get that shrunk playbook? So it might work for him as well, because he's extremely talented. Maybe not put too much on his plate. Just a thought. Just a thought. Just a thought. I'm still upset about it now, all these years later. That's how that works. We won a Super Bowl, and I'm still upset about it. Anyway, thanks for joining the chat. You guys. April, reading is hard this early. Reading is hard for me just in general. appreciate all you guys. You guys are great. No wonder Donovan sounds bitter. Thanks, everybody, in the chat. You guys are great, as per usual. I'll say it again, and I know how this is going to go. People are going to see the comment here or the description in the show and say, you know, Birds have no identity, but they don't need one. Again, this is what it comes down to. And watching the game yesterday and thinking about the versatility, I think the best identity you can have in any sport is versatility. Because, again, you can change yourself, and you can be good at either. The Eagles are the definition of a pick-your-poison type of team. All right, well, geez, what do I want to do today? Do I want to stop Jalen Hurts from throwing the ball over my head, or do I want to stop Miles Sanders from running past me and Jalen Hurts from running past me? Ooh, wait, hold on. One of those guys can do both. The quarterback can throw the ball deep downfield, and the quarterback can throw a little dink and dunks as well, and the quarterback can also run and for first downs. That's tough to stop. QB spy. Spy harder. You gonna stop Miles Sanders? Good luck to you. Seems the only thing that stops Miles Sanders is Shane Steichen or Nick Sirianni. It's the only thing that stops Miles Sanders. Well, he's just not going to be part of the game plan today because we're going to air the ball out today because we can. And it worked. Oh, they could be a tough defensive team as well? Wow. Like, the Eagles are, like, five. They are you know what they are? They're the movie Split. They are a billion different personalities in one team. That's what they are. That's what they are. That's what I got for you on that. Let's get into the morning rush brought to Sky Motorcars, skymotorcars.com. Aside from the Eagles being 11-1, which is nice, the 76ers. Not such a great weekend. Not such a great weekend for the 76ers. Lost back-to-back game, lost to the Cavs, lost to the Grizzlies. Now they are in Houston as they continue the road trip. 8 o'clock tip-off tonight, and it looks like one man will return. James Harden will return for the Sixers tonight. All signs pointing to that. Look forward to the Sixers coming away with a victory tonight over the Houston Rockets. 8 o'clock tip-off tonight. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Oh, and once again, -3, Bucks home favorites. We had the standard -3 against the New Orleans Saints tonight. So, of course, we'll be rooting for another Saints loss to help the Eagles draft pick as they own their first-round pick. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening to the Farzy Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Jim Hyde produced the program. Did a wonderful job. This is a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzetta. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thanks for watching. Go Birds, go Sixers tonight. See ya.